This is Remnant Bride Radio, bringing to you Time with Gary, a common man with an uncommon understanding. Now, from RemnantBrideRadio.com, here's Gary Naylor.
Hi, this is Gary Naylor. Let's spend some time together. As you know from the title of this broadcast, we're talking about seeing the big picture, backing off, and looking at things from a different perspective and trying to understand what is best in order to bring about the results that are good. I like what Peter said. He said, concerning being tested by God, he said, submit your soul to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. Doing what is right. One of the things that is necessary is to be able to back off and look at the big picture and see what the outcome could possibly be. Now, we've looked at that from three perspectives, from the personal perspective, from the national perspective, and most importantly, from the perspective of the kingdom of heaven. Now, why do I say it's the most important? Because that's what's going to determine our future, our destiny, in the long-term picture. Because the nations period has been going on for 6,000 years, but that doesn't mean it's going to go on forever. They only have a right to 6,000 years. We're at the place of the millennial reign. The nations period will cease. So we're looking at the transition period of the millennial reign that will take us into the new heavens and the new earth. And if there's ever, and it's never to be otherwise, if there's ever a time in which people need to concentrate on the kingdom of heaven, it is indeed now. The hope is the bride will be established, prepare the way for Emmanuel, and he will come and build his temple between the two bronze mountains of Christianity. Now, what we're going to talk about in this broadcast is more so concerning the nations. Now, we're going to talk about the nations because what we're going to see is what is taking place relates to the kingdom of heaven and what Yahweh God is doing, and in particular, in regard to the curse of 1920. Before the broadcast, Chris and I were talking. We'll bring him in just momentarily. And he said, are the nation's debts tied to the curse of 1920? Absolutely. That tie is through feminism, which, as we wonderfully addressed in the last program, you have male and female, that's the creator and the created, and women are trying to be equal to the male, which is the same as the created, trying to be equal to the creator. And you have homosexuality, one and the same sex. You got the woman trying to be like the man, standing in the position of the man. And what that does is it distorts the outcome. And we see this in our economics today. As soon as women got the right to vote in the various states, the cost of governance increased dramatically. I mean, it skyrocketed. And so, with our huge debt today, why is it there? Guaranteed, it's there because of feminism. Irresponsibility, a focus too much on emotional issues, and we have departed from the way, and it comes back to the curse of 1920. Now, what is the title of this broadcast? It is seeing the bigger picture. People do not realize how much where we are right now as a nation is because we have failed to look at the bigger picture and see what the curse of 1920 is and to deal with that curse, which the nations are not going to. The world is not going to. That's why it's so critical that Yahweh establish a bride, bring Emmanuel back to this earth, and solve the problems that flesh man has created. Mr. Meyer, Did you think I was going to bring you in? It's a delight for you to be here and, of course, representing the listener.
Thank you, sir, and greetings to all. And I will tell you, over the last 3 days, well, I said in the previous program that the two of the things that you taught me were to see the big picture and to look at Scripture governmentally. And I guess over the last 3 days, all I have been thinking about is the big picture. I had a colleague of mine just the other day mentioned to me about a potential job and career change, and right away I'm, you know, instead of just jumping at it, you know, of course it'll pay more and there's a lot of added benefits to it, instead of just being youthful and jumping at it and being just aggressive with it, I started looking at the big picture. I started asking all these questions, you know, what about this, what about that, what are the long-term effects of my decision? And so, just in my own personal life over the last couple of days, all I'm thinking about is the big picture. It's wonderful.
It is, isn't it? And, you know, the Scriptures talk about restoring the mind. Well, that's what you're doing. You're restoring your mind. You're focusing on what's right and seeing the bigger picture. It renews your mind and causes you to be more circumspect and more profitable in what you're doing in regard to your own life, in regard to what's most important, and of course in regard to the kingdom of heaven.
Well, yes, you're exactly right. And now as we begin to see in the big picture on the nation's level, we will see that you're right, that the curse of 1920 that came upon this nation that has affected us financially. We are not making right decisions. We are not looking at the big picture. And of course, my question to you as we progress in this will be, what is the bigger picture of all this? What does the future hold for us, for America, the kingdom of heaven at the nation's level? What is the bigger picture hold for the bride? What does it hold for Christianity? What does it hold for the nations? There's lots of questions here.
One of the things that we're going to do in our time together, Chris, is to talk about some of the specifics of the economics of America right now, not so much the world, but we'll just look at America. Of course, what happens to America is going to happen to the world as well. And there is a lot of information now. We also want to go to another subject at some point concerning our hope for the days before us. Frankly, I'm not sure that we can cover both of those in this broadcast. And so at this point, though, we're going to look at national financial accountability. Now, in our time together last time, we were talking about, in fact, we ended on this. We were talking about Barack Obama and feminine Democrats, feminism. And I said that Barack Obama is a testimony of the full bloom of the curse of 1920. Now, I'm not going to go into all of that because a person can read the book, The Curse of 1920, and it will explain it fully. But the black man of Africa brought a curse on America. And it's just governmental. Someone can say, I can't believe you would say that. Well, I can ask you this. Was there a serpent in the garden? You see, Africa means snake kingdom. And if you look at the pharaohs, they had serpents on their foreheads. If you look at Africa, it is Satan. It is a curse. America is the kingdom of heaven on earth at the nation's level. And in order to bring a curse upon America, what Yahweh did is to, out of greed, to bring the black man against his will to America, and it brought the curse of Ham upon the kingdom of heaven at the nation's level, America. It was a repeat of the original garden of God. And so it's not that I'm trying to be prejudicial. I'm trying to be realistic. I'm trying to back up and look at the big picture. What is God doing in America? He is government. He knows exactly what he's doing. And we can better understand the solutions to the problem, the cause and the solutions, if we will be honest with what Yahweh God is doing. He is not letting man just do what he wants and hopefully it's all going to work out. Yahweh God is government. And what we find is that the black man was brought over here. It brought the curse of Africa into America. Africa was naked in the how are people dressing today? Where did the music that we have today that is such a curse come from? It came from the black man out of New Orleans. And where did rock and roll come from? It came from the black churches. The black man is a curse on America because of his identification with the snake kingdom of Africa. Now, am I saying we get rid of black people? No. You're always going to deal with all of this. And I have personal friends that are black people. That's not a personal issue to me. I'm talking about governmentally what has been accomplished in our nation. I told one brother, a black brother, I said, or were you offended whenever I talked about the black man being cursed? And he said, no, Gary, the black man knows more than anybody that we're cursed. You know, what are the black man is 13% of the population of America, and well over 50% of the people in prison are blacks. There is a huge curse upon the black man, and that curse is evidenced here in our nation through our music. We are doing tremendous damage, destruction to the black family through our welfare system. And Barack Obama is a testimony of that curse that is upon this nation. George W. Bush increased the debt to America $4 trillion over the period of 8 years. In the last 2 years, Barack Obama has increased the debt $4 trillion, the amount that it took George Bush 8 years. George Bush increased it way too much. But it shows the impact that Barack Obama has had. You know, I'm thinking about someone would say, well, we need to get rid of the black man. That is not the answer. Keep in mind, in the Garden of God, there was the serpent and the woman. And the woman sinned, and she brought a curse as well. Of course, the man sinned and brought a curse. We can't get rid of people any more than we could say get rid of women. That is not going to solve the problem. The problem is not going to be solved by getting rid of people. This problem is going to be solved by bringing Emmanuel back to this earth to solve it. And so I want to make sure that people understand that very clearly. I am not identifying a group to bring retribution against them. In fact, what we find is that the black man of Africa is a testimony of Christianity. If you look at Africa, then what you find is that it represents Christianity in that the serpent, Satan, has ruled over it for 2,000 years. The gold that builds the temple came from Africa. That's where it gets its name, Ophir Rica. Ophir is the land of Ophir, where Solomon got all the gold to build the temple. Well, where does the bride come from? Where does his kingdom, the bride, come from? It comes from Christianity. It comes from Africa, Ophir Rica, or Ophis Rica. Yahweh God has laid all of this out to set forth the government that applies to the nations. We cannot judge the black man any more than we can judge Christianity, because they both speak to the same thing. In fact, they're testified. There are two testimonies, two Simons, that speak of Christianity. There is Simon Peter, who denied Yeshua three times, and he speaks of the 3,000 years of Christianity that will deny him. And he bore the cross. Peter had to bear the cross. As I understand, he was crucified upside down. But Peter bore the cross. The other man who bore the cross was Simon of Cyrene. He was a black man. The black man is paying a price for the affliction that is upon the church. They are a nation's level testimony of Christianity. And so, you can't get rid of the black man anymore. You can say, well, let's just get rid of Christianity. Let's get rid of Christians. That is not the solution. Yahweh God works all of this together for His purposes. And again, I urge you to read The Curse of 1920. Chris, before we move on, and I didn't plan on getting into that, but before we move on, do you have any comments?
Well, I do, and, you know, I guess I'm reminded of recent programs where you have talked that Yahweh will restore all things, and I'm encouraged that he will reverse the curse on the black man and restore the black man back to his kingdom. And so, as harsh and as hard as it sounds to listen to this, or as the listener might go, well, that's harsh, Gary. You know, when you look at it governmentally, it makes a lot of sense. And I think the encouraging thing is that Yahweh will reverse the curse and restore all mankind back to himself.
Yes, and you have that testimony actually in the scriptures. We read in Zechariah chapter 3, verse 3. Zechariah 3 is where it talks about engraving the image of Satan on a rock, which Yahweh uses big rocks. He uses Africa. The continent of Africa is the testimony of Satan. His image is engraved on Africa. But it says concerning this curse that is upon Africa and that is upon Christianity, in verse 9 it says, "For behold, the stone that I have set before Joshua," that's the stone of Africa or Christianity, "on one stone are seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave an inscription," or engrave an engraving "on it, declares Yahweh of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day."
There you go.
I long for the iniquity to be removed off the black man. I actually have tremendous compassion for the black man, because a curse has been placed upon him, just like a curse has been placed on Christianity. When you see what has happened to the kingdom of heaven in Christianity, from the standpoint of the pureness and the perfection of the kingdom of heaven, it is a corrupted work. That same curse is on Africa and on the black man, and I long for both of those to have the curse removed from them. And it says there in Zechariah, he will remove it in one day. It's desperately needed. Well, let's get along with this subject concerning national financial accountability. And we've already talked about Barack Obama, and we've talked about feminism has increased the costs in our nation. It is an outworking, a product of the curse of 1920. As the curse of 1920 is coming full bloom, you know, the warning, Chris, concerning the church is that if the days of the church that we have known for 2,000 years are not cut short, no flesh would be saved. I fear the same thing for America. We are at a place in our nation that it is at the brink of destruction and financial collapse. We are hell-bent, rushing headlong into financial disaster. And a lot of people are talking about it. I am not an economist, but I am going to make a feeble attempt to explain some things for the purpose of comparing them with what Yahweh God is doing in this nation, and especially concerning the curse of 1920. I'm going to start with this. I have studied the economics of our nation and tried to understand what's taking place. And I heard Art Laffer, he was with the Reagan administration, he's one of the key advisors to the Reagan administration, who brought America out of a tremendous recession. Now we're back in another one. I heard Art Laffer speaking, and it's L-A-F-F-E-R, speaking with Glenn Beck, and he explained the situation that we're in right now in such a simple way that it was one of those aha moments to understand. What they did, and we can relate to this because it's something we know, what he did is he explained first the bubble, the housing bubble, that came upon America, something that has been created, of course. To give you a summary of it, housing prices skyrocketed for various reasons. Low interest, the government pushing Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac to make troubled loans, unsafe loans. And this increase in the prices of housing skyrocketed, and it became a bubble. It became fixed with prices that were totally unreasonable and could never be sustained. And those prices peaked in 2005. And what they did is prices essentially doubled. Well, before I go any further, I want to suggest someone, because this gentleman talks about what we're addressing right now. His name is Chris Martinson. I would suggest you go online and you go to chrismartinson.com. That's chrismartinson.com. He has a video called Crash Course. It's a play on words, crash course, because we're looking at a crash. And watch that video several times. And he goes into the housing bubble. But what happened is, the prices of houses peaked in 2005. They were totally unrealistic. It was a bubble. And they started falling in 2006, 2007, prices did. In 2008, there was a drop that was the largest in the history of housing. And of course, that bubble popped. And housing prices are continuing to fall and fall and fall. He points out that you're looking at least a 40% reduction in the price of houses in order to get back to what reality is. Those bubbles are not reality. They are speculation, and they're driven by various things. And so this housing bubble came and it went. And then Art went on to explain that is what we are doing in our nation. And, of course, the housing bubble created this huge debt. They got interest rates down low, but they ballooned them where they would increase over time. People couldn't make their house payments, and they began to foreclose on people. So people could not support the debt that came with those houses. Well, Art went on to explain, this is exactly where we are as a nation. We have a debt that exists that we cannot support. And what's going to happen is we're going to start defaulting on our payments. In the case of the housing market, the U.S. was the backstop for it, and they stopped the loss. They went in and bailed out the banks. But the situation that we have in America, as Art explained, is there is no backstop. Nobody's going to bail us out. China's not going to bail us out. Nations are not going to bail us out. And when our bubble pops, and I would suggest to you that bubble has begun to pop as of 2009, and I will go on to explain that. But when it pops, there is nobody to cover our debt, and there's going to be tremendous loss. Let's get to one of the very important points in what we're talking about. The curse of 1920 came, obviously, in 1920. But you didn't see the immediate consequences of it, and really we don't see the full consequences of it until today. But what Yahweh did is he gave us a foreshadowing of what was going to happen. This is one of the important points I want to make. The Great Depression that lasted from 1929 to 1937 was a foreshadowing of what we are going into now. It was a warning, if you would. It was a shot over the bow. This is what's going to happen to you. You started this curse. You started feminism, giving women the right to vote. You've got your cursed music. Abortions are going to find their place eventually. They weren't going at that time. But this whole cauldron of error began in 1920. And if he fired a shot over the bow with the Great Depression, which of course was financial, economics, and the Dust Bowl, And it was as if Yahweh was placing a razor strap over our behind, taking us to the woodshed, saying, this is wrong, and I'm just going to give you a foretaste of the warning right now. We ignored it. We ignored it. We went on. FDR called in all the gold. Richard Nixon took us off the gold standard to 71. And we've been out of control ever since. If you look at feminism, it's been out of control even before 1920. If you look at music, it's out of control. There is no discipline on the music that goes out, either personally or from a corporate or a government standpoint. We are an undisciplined people. In the Great Depression of 1929 to 1937 was a warning to us, this is what's going to happen if you continue in this way, but it's going to be bigger. If you would, we could say the Great Depression, and we're going to look at another chart here after a while. The Great Depression would be like putting an ice cream cone or a little snow cone, you know, those paper snow cones. I don't know if they're still making paper. But if you turn one upside down, and let's say a snow cone. Do they still make paper snow cones, Chris? Have you seen them?
Yes, sir.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm. I haven't bought a snow cone in a long time. If you take one and turn it upside down, it's this little peak. And you look at it, you know, two-dimensional, you can see, okay, you're going along flat, and then there's this peak, and then it comes back down. That's exactly what the Great Depression was. There was a peak of disaster, and we're going to be talking about that graph, and then it came back down. But if you want to know where we're at right now, then move over from your snow cone about 8 inches and put a dunce cap there. Much larger. Takes longer to get to the top, but it's a longer fall to get back down to the standard. Chris, that's where we are. We are at that pinnacle. In fact, I think we are just on the other side of it, getting ready to make that fall.
Well, you've seen some graphs or some charts that sort of indicate this, and you know, I'm reminded that history does repeat itself, and so I would agree with you that we're headed to something not so special. But also I'm reminded that, you know, this is President Obama has brought on this tremendous debt, and he is full-bloom curse of 1920, and you saw it when his wife wore the Black Widow spider dress on their inaugural night, or the night they won. It started well before President Obama. It started with Bush, it started with Clinton, it's been going on for years. This country's been going downhill for a number of years, and it's a result of this curse that's been on this country.
If people don't recognize it, Chris, they don't know it. Everybody's going along. They're like lemmings. If you know what lemmings are, they're a little rodent. And what happens is they all occupy themselves, but at some point, these lemmings start making a rush towards the sea. And they all get caught up in it, and they run with this mass of aggregation of lemmings, and they go to the sea, go to the cliffs, and they just run right off the cliffs into the water. That's where we are. We have not looked at the big picture to see what all of this is caused by and where we're headed. We talked about this last time. You got wonderful guys like Rush, and I'm just talking about politics, I'm not talking about morals concerning Rush. You know, if he was really good in government, he wouldn't have married and divorced the way he has. But you got Rush, you got Glenn Beck. You have others that can see things governmentally, but they don't see the curse of the woman being in governance. And so they totally fail. They're like the lemmings. You're going to have good lemmings and bad lemmings. But they're all still headed towards the same direction, and that's right off the side of the cliff. That's where we're headed because people are not seeing the big picture. That's why I and you and we as the bride continue to pursue through intercession access and achievement with Yahweh God with the hopes of bringing Emmanuel to this earth because he really is the only answer to this problem. For the black man, for Christianity, for the nations, for the world, he is the only answer because it's like the scripture says in the book of Judges. Twice it says, every man did what was right in his own eyes because there was no king in the land. Well, that's exactly what we face right now. Everyone does what's right in their own eyes and there's no king in the land. And that's why I'm concerned. Spirit come on me, he's going to have to overcome the arguments of people. Because everybody's going to say, well, that's just your opinion. God has got to make himself known in our midst. And that is our hope, and that's what we're going to be talking about in the next broadcast. I can tell you, we're not going to get there at this point. But let's go ahead.
He needs to establish an Elijah in the office. And a good analogy for this, and I really didn't see it so much with President Clinton or the second President Bush, but you know, you saw it in a man in Barack Obama, where he just came out of nowhere and Yahweh put him in an office. And overnight, he's in this office, and that's what Yahweh has to do with his Elijah and bride. He has to empower him and put him in an office, and then people will believe what we have to say.
That is certainly my hope. It's not the man, it's the office. It's like a military man. You go up and you salute that man. Or even a policeman. Why do you salute them? Because of the person they are? No, because of the office they're in. That's what Yahweh has got to do. He's got to open the office, and I think he's done that since 94. But it's been the water under the gate, and it's been slow. We'll be talking about that when we cover that next time. You're right. It needs to be that office fulfilled. Chris, let's talk a little bit about debt, our national debt, and I want to move through these rather quickly. Our national debt is approaching $15 trillion right now. And you can go to a website called U.S. Debt Clock, USDEBTCLOCK.org, and you can see how our debt is increasing. You know, $15 trillion debt. Chris, that's $45,000 per person that we're in debt. That's just their normal debt. That doesn't include Social Security, Medicare, pensions. There's a gentleman by the name of Richard W. Fisher. He is the president of the Dallas Federal Reserve. He said if you put those three and other like debts into the national debt, it's not $15 trillion. We're looking at, and these are his numbers, we're looking at $100 trillion. We're not talking about a debt of $45,000 per person. We are now talking about a debt of $300,000 for every man, woman, and child. You know, some people say, oh, the national debt. Wake up. It's not the government's debt. Governments don't make money. Federal Reserve prints money. Governments don't make money. The only way they get money is from people. National debt is the debt of the people, and that's where they have burdened us. You know, we put the black man into slavery out of greed. Would you agree?
Yes.
We put the black man into slavery out of greed. The black man, through welfare, and now with Barack Obama, is putting our nation in slavery to debt out of our own greed, in our own blindness, in our own foolishness, in our own disregard for Yahweh God and his government. We don't go by his government. What we sow, we will reap. And the curse of the black man has come upon us because of our own greed. So we're looking at $100 trillion. There's no way we can get out of that. No way. It is going to it's going to bankrupt America. We are technically called insolvent. But we are also technically bankrupt. It's just that the bankrupt proceedings have not yet started. But I'm going to give you some numbers to suggest to you. As I said, in 2009, in fact, the second quarter in 2009, our nation turned the corner, and just like housing prices started dropping in 2006, 2007, and you had the big boom in 2008. This one's going to come, and according to what Chris Martinson said recently, he said this thing's going to speed up faster than we thought. And again, I urge you to go to chrismartinson.com and watch the free video crash course. Okay, Chris, we talked about the snow cone versus the dunce cap. And I guess that's really quite appropriate when you talk about dunce cap, because that's what we're being. We're being a dunce. The snow cone is generally for children, and we were being quite childish back in 1920. Being quite childish, going by emotions, not looking at the long-term effects of what we were going to do. But, of course, it was destined. If you read the book, The Curse of 1920, you'll see that this curse was predestined when Abraham married a woman by the name of Keturah. She was a Canaanite. Go read The Curse of 1920, and you'll see. In fact, I think it's on the Curse of 1920 website, where that curse was inevitable to come upon America in 1920. And Yahweh God is the only one who can reverse it at this point. But we do need a Phinehas, who is jealous with Yahweh God's jealousy and tries to right the wrongs that he does see. That's what Phinehas did, and he reversed the curse that was on the Israelites. That's what we need as a Phinehas. Jealous with Yahweh God's jealousy. Okay, let's see. According to my notes, we need to look at now total credit market debt as of percent of GDP. Now, most people know what GDP is. That's gross domestic product. It's the country's total economic output. It is the total market value of all final goods and services produced in a country in a given year. There's GDP. It's what the nation produces, the people produce. This total credit market debt, that includes all debt. That's government debt, corporate debt, household debt, financial debt, state and local municipalities. It's all debt. It does not include, though, Social Security and Medicare. Because if that was included, these percentages are going to be far higher. And if interest rates increase, these percentages are going to be far higher. If our nation starts paying interest on the debts that they have, the loans that they have, it's Katie bar the door. Okay, there's a chart in Martinson's video, and you can also find this chart. If you just go to the web and put in total credit market debt as a percent of GDP, I'm simply saying this to point out how big this dunce cap is. All right? During the Great Depression, if you go look at that chart, that snow cone was at a percent of GDP of 260%. Now, in our nation, that percentage is typically well below 200%. At the Great Depression, that percent of GDP jumped to 260%. Today, as of 2009, let's say, that percent of GDP jumped to 371%. That's the dunce cap. In between there, there's a valley. But what it's telling us is just like the snow cone had a fall on the other side, the dunce cap does too. What you find as the cause for this, everything was going fine in this chart, which shows the percent of our indebtedness to how much we make. Everything was going fine until Nixon took us off the gold standard. When he took us off the gold standard, it began to climb. What happened is, when Nixon took us off the gold standard, is that he made the dollar free-floating, if you would. There was nothing tying it to a value. So the government can spend whatever they wanted to by printing more money through the Federal Reserve. And this percentage would edge higher and higher and higher as our nation became more indebted, people became more indebted, and this percentage continued to grow. The cause of that was because we were taken off the gold standard, which is really a testimony of turning away from the gold kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. I'm sure you can see that, right?
Well, yes. I mean, that's the spiritual connection to it. But boy, Gary, these numbers that you're referring to, they are staggering. You know, the common Joe, i.e. me and others, we go, well, what's the point? I mean, we'll never get out of this debt. Nothing will ever change. You're always going to have to do something. There's no hope for us.
Well, let's calculate your debt, Mr. Meyer. Well, I've got my calculator here. So the real debt is you owe $300,000 for each member of your family, correct?
Yes. $1.2
million. You got it? Yep. So I'm sure that you've got $1.2 million in the bank somewhere that you're going to give the government, right? And so we can bail them out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, what Martinson points out, he said, you know, there's only two ways that you can reconcile this huge peak that you got on this dunce cap. Either you increase the income and pay off the debt, or you default. And when you default, it's going to have huge consequences for everybody. It's going to bring everybody down, just like the housing market. The housing market was just a blip on the radar compared to what we're in right now. There were defaults, and the government came in and bailed them out and covered the defaults, right?
Yes.
Again, it's like Laffer said, there is no backstop. Nobody's going to cover the defaults, and it's going to come down. It's going to break the banking industry. It's going to break the government. We're already seeing states who cannot maintain the services. They're close to bankruptcy themselves. They're underwater, as many of the states are. And so this is getting worse and worse. It is snowballing and getting worse and worse all the time. And all it's going to take is, if you get the Chinese to pull out, they're going to start the dominoes falling. But let's look at this chart, and I want to encourage people to go look at it. What happened is, in 1985, that percent of GDP was 190%. Blow that 200%. By 2006, that percent of GDP was 327%. 2007, it was 343%. 2008, 359%. 2009, it was 371%. But what happened is, in the second quarter, it actually turned the corner. 2010, the first two quarters, we were at 358% of GDP. Do you see why I say we're on the other side of the peak of the dunce cap? The second quarter of 2009, this unwinding of this fallacious economic boom that we supposedly have is going to unwind. It's going to begin to go down. Just like the prices of houses have gone down, the well-being of the government, the well-being of companies, the well-being of individuals is going to come down. We can't support Social Security. We can't support Medicare. We can't support pensions. Money that people have been depending upon, bonds that are behind pensions, they're going to collapse. It's coming down. You know, whenever we began to see this aspect of the latter rain and such, we said what has to happen is that money must decrease and the spirit must increase. What money is to the nations is what the spirit is to the kingdom of heaven. And what has to happen is that money has to decrease and the spirit must increase. And I hope what we're going to have, and we'll talk about this in our next time together, well, I hope we're going to have a Gihon. That's what we need. Not just the water under the Eastern Gate. We need a Gihon. So, Chris, can you see how much peril we're in right now as a nation? We are... Barry McGuire. I can tell you why I remember this. There was a song back in, I guess, the 60s. Have you ever heard of Barry McGuire, Chris?
I have.
Okay. Barry McGuire came out with a song. I think it was before he was a Christian. It was called The Eve of Destruction. He said, let's see. He said something about, I want you to believe, or something like that. We're on the eve of destruction. I was impressed with that so much. I was in grade school at the time. I was impressed so much with that song that I listened to the words and wrote them down. And whenever I was supposed to write a paper, I used those words. Would you like to guess what grade I got on that? I learned plagiary does not pay. I really liked those words. He said, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction? Well, I got a D for using Barry McGuire's words. Obviously, the teacher listened to the radio, too. She did not appreciate me plagiarizing. I got a D on the paper.
Of course, I'm reminded of course, the back to the garden with the original eve of destruction.
Well said, Mr. Meyer. The eve of destruction. Yes, and that's where we are right now in our nation with feminism. Giving women the right to govern, we are at the eve of destruction. We truly are. And that is well said, sir.
So the nations get 6,000 years, and then their time is up. In Yahweh's timeline, the way that he counts time, are we at the end of the 6,000 years?
Oh, absolutely. And, of course, the kingdom of heaven at the nation's level, America, will be one of those nations that will default and have to give way to. He could bring it down. He could bring this whole thing down financially so that when Emmanuel comes, everybody's going to breathe a sigh of relief. It'll be bigger than the Great Depression. The Great Depression was the snow cone. It was just a warning shot over the bow. We haven't had the direct blow yet as a nation. We got over the warning shot. This one is going to bankrupt the nation.
Well, if I didn't have the hope that I was to ascend alive, and if I just thought that I would have to walk through this, I would be very depressed right now. I mean, I'm $1.2 million in debt, and there's no hope. So what is there to look forward to?
That's what we're going to get into in our next broadcast as we look at this from a bigger picture. And, of course, we're trying to look at the economics of the nation in a bigger picture, saying, you know, it's getting ready to get bad, folks. But if we get to the bigger picture, we can say, but the hope is the kingdom of heaven is going to come. It's the same warning that Yeshua had given, that if he didn't cut the day short, no flesh would be saved. I don't like to think about what could happen. You know, you get the Muslims with nuclear bombs. Where's it going to lead? If we don't have the money to buy armaments to fight, and they have acquired all of this, and they get Pakistan, which got nuclear bombs, our world does not look good right now. We like to think in a rosy manner, but it is not good. The only hope I see, and this is why I have persevered for 16 years now, the only hope that I see is for Yahweh to establish the Elijah work and bring Emmanuel to this earth and let him come and rule and reign and serve in the male role, having already fulfilled his female role 2,000 years ago when he came as a servant to serve.
Yes, and of course we have seen bits and pieces of that over the years, these incredible truths that have been revealed to God's servant through Gary Naylor. And we've seen bits and pieces of him reversing the curse, as testified through baseball. Of course, you've written about that. And the testimonies of the recent presidents in office. So Yahweh's been testifying that he is to and will reverse the curse that's on this land and on this world, and he's given us hope that, and we know it's in his scripture, it's written that Emmanuel will return and rule with a rod of iron. He will return as Emmanuel and set up his kingdom, and we have great hope and anticipation for that. But right now we're faced with some very difficult challenges, and the guidance I think that we need, those that are listening to this, really need to understand the big picture and see that, you know, as bad as things are, here's our hope. And I know that we'll get into that in the next broadcast.
You know, Chris, the a true testimony to our fate is the fact that FDR first began to change the aspect of gold behind the dollar with the World War II and with his own spending. And then Nixon taking America off the gold standard completely. That really is a testimony of the peril that this nation is in right now. We have been taken off the gold standard, the kingdom standard, that made tremendous change in 1920 with the curse of 1920 in bringing the eve of destruction. Someone said, well said, in 1920 we received women's suffrage and we've been suffering ever since. That is indeed true. It's a joke to some people, but it is in fact true. We are on the eve of destruction, and it is for that very reason. It is feminism, which has created tremendous complications and failures in our nation, in our court system, in politics, in debt, and we have now the homosexuality. Why? Because we left the gold standard, the standard of the kingdom. Yeah, we've got to come back and restore the gold. You know, there's another thing I want to mention. When you watch that video, you're going to find that our money, it's called fiat money. Fiat means let it be. It's just so be it. Fiat money is only as valuable as people respect it. There have been many fiat paper bills that have been printed that are zero value other than as collector items. There is nothing that is behind our money. One economist said that the value of fiat money always goes to its true value, and that is zero. Paper. When money totally loses its value, that of a picture of the people using the money to stoke their furnaces with it. They're just burning it. It has no value. One of the things that is a product of the financial system we have, and you can look at the banking industry and how it's a house of cards. It will astonish you how money is established in our financial system. There is absolutely nothing behind it other than debt. The way our financial system is designed, Chris, is that there's money in the system and there's the money enough for the system, but whenever people start charging interest, you have to watch the video to understand this. What it does, it creates a need for money that exists beyond the amount of money that's in the system. And the only way you can pay the debt from interest is to create more debt. That's the nature of the financial system we have. It obligates continual debt. Our financial system will not work without continual debt, growing debt, ever-increasing debt. What happens is, if there starts to be defaults, then you can't pay the interest, and then it brings the whole system down. This aspect of interest is one of the ways that we are getting off the gold standard, the kingdom of heaven standard. I'm going to read for you Deuteronomy 23, 19 and 20. You shall not charge interest to your countrymen, interest on money, food, or anything that may be loaned at interest. You may charge interest to a foreigner, but to your countrymen you shall not charge interest, so that Yahweh your God may bless you in all that you undertake in the land which you are about to enter to possess. Okay, who's wiser? God? Or the Federal Reserve in Congress? By charging interest to our countrymen, we put a limit on how far our economy can even go. Because at one point, and go watch the video, interest demands continual growth. What it does, it puts a cap on how far you can grow. Because it goes beyond what the system can uphold. And it all comes down. It guarantees eventual failure. Interest guarantees eventual failure. That's just one example of where we've gotten off the gold standard. Richard Nixon got us off, and look what happened. You can go look at the chart. I can just explain it, you know, very simply. What happened is the dunce cap, Richard Nixon got us off the gold standard, and the dunce cap was established. Before, when we were used gold and silver coins, there was no such thing of inflation for the first 300 years. I can't remember what the chart says. 300 years of our from the 1600s. There was no inflation. There was a little inflation whenever you had the Revolutionary War. There was a little inflation when you had the Civil War. But if you had money from the founding of this nation in Jamestown, it was the same value, essentially, on the other side of the Civil War. There was no difference. There was no inflation because there was not fiat money. And then the fiat money that we had, it was still little inflation because it was backed by gold. Gold was the anchor that kept from people spending beyond what they had, i.e. government. Government is the one that bloats our economy with money, and they do it to pay off their debts. They have excessive spending, of course. Just look at Democrats and Republicans. And so there was no inflation until we started getting off the gold standard, and that took us in. And we have been on this uphill dunce climb all the way, 2009. We're on the other side. We peaked. We're on the other side of the peak. And it's not going to take as long to come off the peak as it took to go up it. Chris, I know you've done some mountain climbing there in Denver. I have too. When you go up a peak, it takes you a while to get there, doesn't it?
It does, but I tell you, the best part is coming down. And you can get down in half the time,
yep,
or more.
Well, according to the charts, they say that it comes down about the same as going up. But then there are other examples of this where they come down with a crash. It's like the house that fell that Yeshua spoke of, and it said, and great was its fall. That's what we face right now. And these are very sobering times. But also, if we're right, and we'll be talking about this in our next time together, if we are right, it is a wonderful time because money will decrease and the Holy Spirit will increase. And this is exactly what we need because this corruption of the kingdom, Daniel chapter 9, it came to an end with a flood. That's what we have to have. We have to have the flood of the Holy Spirit. We have to have the preacher of righteousness to come and prepare for the flood. And we need this system that we've been on for 6,000 years, this interest-bearing system, to come down and for Yahweh God to establish the kingdom of heaven on this earth through His Son, Emmanuel. So I encourage people to go to chrismartinson.com, watch his video Crash Course, and I think we have done a pretty reasonable job in covering everything that we needed to cover concerning this. Do you have any questions or comments, Chris?
Well, the one question I would have, and hopefully I know we're running out of time, and if we can't answer it now, maybe we can pick it up next time, and that is, where did this concept of the money will decrease and the Holy Spirit will increase, where did you see that? I was with you at the time, I just don't recall what led to that revelation.
It's this matter of the flip. What money is to the nations, the Holy Spirit is to the kingdom. And if you have money ruling over the Spirit, and of course churches, they go for money. They don't have the Spirit, and so they as well will replace the Spirit with money. And so with the flip, there would be the transition from the nations to the kingdom of heaven. If money is the thing of greatest value, it only goes to reason that what will be of greatest value now is the Holy Spirit in our lives and whatever it's going to accomplish and work in our lives. And so that's why we said that money must decrease and the Holy Spirit increases, because of this flip, this transition from the times of the nations be completed to the millennial reign in which Emmanuel builds his temple between the two bronze mountains. Does that explain it?
Yes, sir. And then one other quick question, and that is, we know that Satan occupies the 12th position, in Judas' position, the office of the 12th apostle. And so he holds the money box.
Oh, and yeah. So
we've seen what he's done with the money. He has trashed it and abused it. And so how is Yahweh going to transfer that? Will that money box transfer with when that office gets transferred to the 12th apostle, the Elijah and company?
Let me explain it to the listener in case they haven't read this before. The office of the 12th apostle, who was Judas, he was always numbered number 12. The office of the 12th apostle is the office of the Elijah. I will not go into the details of this, but what John the Baptist did, and he had the spirit of Elijah, what John the Baptist did in a type in baptizing Yeshua into death, Judas Iscariot accomplished. He was the Elijah who baptized Yeshua into death. He betrayed him. And of course, what happened is the apostles cast lots and established Matthias and started the abomination of desolation. That is covered in the writing called the Great Tribulation. Now, what happens is that office did not go from Judas to Matthias. Peter declared, "Let no one fill the office," in the book of Acts. Well, he should have stopped there. Let no one fill it. He should have stopped there. What happened is that office then went to Satan. In John 6:70, what we have is Yeshua stating clearly who that office belongs to. He said, "I have chosen 12 of you, and one of you is the devil." It's not a devil, it is the devil. If it was a devil, then Yeshua is the son of a God. It's the same sentence structure. One of you is the devil. Now, I know it says he was speaking of Judas, but that office went to that individual Yeshua identified, and that is Satan. He has had the office of the 12th apostle. Now, as the 12th apostle, he was an Elijah, so he had to baptize someone into death. Chris, got a suggestion on who he baptized into death?
Well, he baptized the body of Christ.
Exactly. Judas baptized Yeshua into death. Satan baptized the body of Christ into death. Now, what has to happen is that is a breach period. And that office has to go back to a man. It started with a man, it goes back to a man. And when that man receives that office, that's where we get, whenever we get that office truly evidenced on this earth, that's where we get that salute. And that's where we get the role of the president, where a man steps into an office and he has the authority of the office, which is the authority of Yeshua. Now, the money box. Who had the money box at the time of Yeshua?
Judas.
Judas Iscariot did. He had the money box. So he put all of Yeshua's money into the money box. Now, when you get on the other side of Judas, there is no money box. They put the money at the apostles' feet. Why didn't they put it in the money box? Because that money box had just changed hands. Judas had the money box. He had the right to be the treasurer. That right then went to Satan. Now, he has the right to be the treasurer. So he has the money box, and that's why the apostles didn't have a money box for the money to be put into. Satan has that money box. He has the right to the money of the kingdom. He had that right anyway. I mean, he had that right. He had the right to everything in the nations. He didn't have a right to the finances of the kingdom. But he had all the nations. Concerning the wealth of the nations, Satan told Yeshua, "You see all this? All the wealth of the nations? It's all mine. It's been given to me." So, Satan's got him a nice money box now. What does he put into it now? He puts in all the wealth of the nations. So now, all the wealth of the nations are put in the money box. But the scripture says the wealth of the nations will be taken away from them and given to the righteous. How can you take it away from them? Legally. It's just like Satan got the right to 2,000 years by going into 2,000 swine. To get the money back from Satan, all you have to do is transfer that office to that man, and that man then has the authority and the rights to possess the wealth of the nations. He gets the gold and the silver. The gold of the kingdom and the silver of the bride. He gets the wealth. And with that wealth, he gets the authority to rule over the nations. But, of course, that truly finds fulfillment with the coming of Emmanuel. But nonetheless, the authority exists there because it's the Messiah's money box. It's the Messiah's authority. Now, how all of that's going to work out, transpire, I don't know. But I can tell you what it looks like governmentally. And what I just explained to the listener is the transition that takes place and how it unfolds and what we can expect and how Yahweh accomplishes it. Again, as we start out on this broadcast, seeing the big picture. Seeing the big picture, what Yahweh's doing, and that is our hope.
Amen. Well, that was an excellent answer. That's what I'm trying to get to is to point out that if Satan has and holds that office, and he holds the money box, well, you can just see what our economies look like. It makes perfect sense that he holds the money box. Look at the mess we're in.
Mm-hmm. Out of greed, selfishness,
sure.
Blindness.
Sure.
Well, he's got the money box. It's an excellent point, Mr. Meyer. Excellent point. I'm glad I answered the way I did, but I'm glad you also brought out that's an excellent point. Yeah. And he's lawless, right? So
He's lawless.
Yeah.
He spends money that he doesn't have.
Yep.
And he steals and pilfers and corrupts. Governments are corrupt. State agencies are corrupt.
Puts women there. Homosexuality.
Puts women in positions of authority.
Charge interest, of course.
Yes.
Be lawless. Charge interest.
Absolutely.
Greed. Lust. Oh, I long for the transition to come fully. I'm glad for everything Yahweh has shown the bride, and I think everybody who listens to these broadcasts and reads the writing would feel the same way. But
well, as I said earlier, I would be just, you know, depressed as could be if I didn't have the hope that I have for the future. I mean, how do you see through something like this? There's no light at the end of the tunnel, but knowing what we know with this bright truth, it gives us hope for tomorrow.
And that's a good place to arrive in our conversation and in this broadcast, because that's exactly what we'll be talking about in this big picture. We're going to look at the hope for the days before us, and we're talking about the hope for the days immediately before us. So we're going to have to get another broadcast in pretty quick, Mr. Meyer, because these days are coming upon us.
Well, we will, and just let me know when you want to visit, and I'll make myself available.
Indeed, indeed, and I will look forward to it, and I'm very grateful for the way all of this has turned out in our discussion. And again, I want to encourage people to go to Chris Martinson's website, chrismartinson.com, and watch the crash course. You know, Chris is a pretty good name, huh? Right, Mr. Meyer?
Well, certainly.
And we are grateful for Chris Meyer. And we're grateful for you, the listener, and I hope this broadcast has been a delight, or I can't say delight, but a very meaningful to you. And hopefully it will be a delight in many ways when you consider the kingdom of heaven and us turning our attention to it. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That is our hope, Mr. Meyer.
Amen. Well, blessings to you, sir, and I look forward to our next visit time together.
Let's do it soon, sir.
Okay, bye now.
Bye.